Og først fik jeg lidt gerne en ven energi om University of Utrecht.
Thank you very much for the introduction, and thank you all for the organizers and giving me the opportunity. I'm going to talk about the a work which is still in out of here from the aspects. But I thought that I hope it will appear soon, so this is an opportunity to let you know about these things. But the other work had last month, we can discuss in private, or you can read it or something. Can you turn on the...
Yeah.
What?
A bit
louder?
Yeah.
So this is so the plan of the talk is, I will start with just an introduction, where I will recall some things about the causal dynamic of triangulations. And what we want to do and why. Then I will introduce a model, a specific model in which I've been working. And I'll show you how we can solve this model. And then how, so this solution, and we can take continuum limits. And we'll discuss the results. And then go to the conclusion. We have already introduced you some basic things about the causal dynamic of triangulations. Just briefly going to recall something. So the idea is to do a quantization, a past integral quantization. In the same spirit as Feynman's path integral, where it discretize the timeline, and then you consider this was linear paths in the integration. And so here in this case we have piecewise linear manifolds, piecewise flat manifolds, which are simplicial manifolds, so manifolds built out of simplicial building blocks that generate the generalization of tetrahedra, triangle tetrahedra of higher dimension. The description, so this is just like in Reggio Calculus, also where this idea originated from. The difference in the dynamic of triangulation is that the simplicities are taken all to be the same with the edge length A. What is the integration over geometry now is in the sum for all possible way to glue this simplicities. So basically the idea is to give meaning to the fact integral for quantum gravity to a sum over triangulations weighted with the edge reaction. And CT is some symmetry factor of the triangulation. So this was an idea that came out in the 80s. I think the first was Kazakov, Froelich, and David. In 1998, Jan Ambion and Renato Lalli introduced the closed version of this, with where so now there is some kind of product structure in this model where you have time and you have slices of space, and so it's somehow a discrete version of a manifold with it's like R times sigma some space slice. So in this formulation you have some global time and you have space slices. And no topology changes of the space flux. In this formation, it is possible then to define a weak rotation because it just changes the sign of the length of all the time-like links. And so this becomes a perfect function for.
What are the conditions on that sum to work? Is that finite sum? No, it's not. So you need to have some conditions in order. You need to have some conditions in order for that object to converge? I mean, I
well, if you fix the topology, this has some entropy factor which crosses connection. So if you have in the action with the weights is also exponential, then it will converge up to some point. So that is the critical point, the model one. If you tune the coupling function to that point, you get infinite volume mean. So in this formulation, it's quite natural to introduce the transfer matrix because of this slicing. You can just take one step in time, so take just one of the strips. And, well, this is a two-dimensional picture, but you can do the same in either dimension. And so you can define the transfer matrix as the sum over all triangulations between two geometries, say G1 and G2, in a time step, the minimum time step, which is K. And this defines then this, which is a transfer matrix in geometry. But this is the analog of the evolution operator, quantum mechanics, when you do the path integral approach, and then you separate the time interval into 10 steps, then the one step is what is connected to the time evolution operator in time, T over L. So the transfer matrix can be shown to be symmetric, strictly positive, and bounded. This was shown by Ambio, Mirkiewicz, and Loll in 2001. And this ensures that there exists a well-defined Hamiltonian operator. So basically, this transfer matrix. So given these properties, you can write this as e to the minus a h. H some bounded self-adjoint operator, and so in principle, if this like this, then if you take this A to zero, the continuum limit, then you have an expansion like this, so you have the negative term. So this the continuum should give like a delta function of G two minus G one, and then you have a first order, you have a Hamiltonian. So it's very interesting to extract this Hamiltonian, so you continue limit where you take A to zero. And well, this has been done in 1+1 dimension in various models and different techniques. So the original paper of Andrew Long, and then differentiation and beta with generalization. You can also include squares and other kind of so it's really proving the universality of this model, and also Loll, Willem, and Stefansson, and they include also topology chains. So in two dimensions, many things can be done, but in higher dimensions, there's very few results. So mainly, okay, now I will stick to three dimensional case. And so for example, numerical results, in particular, they come from Monte Carlo simulations, and well, but I think in 3D, the latest was this one of under Jurkiewicz and Loll in 2002, where so you fix for reference a topology like the sphere times so that times real interval, and and for doing the simulation of the computer, you also fix the total volume and the total time of the geometry. And you take them both large because you want to study the continuum limit. Yeah. So, so for a numerical simulation, it is observed that there is only one phase in 3D. In 4D, there are more than one phase. The typical geometry shows semi-classical, so it does plot of space-time. This is a plot of so N2 is the number of building blocks in a slice, so on a two-dimensional slice, and this is plotted against time. And so this is a typical geometry, and you see that there's some stock with very small time, and then there is half of space time. So it looks like some kind of small thing, but in other situations, for example, in compared with what Wilhelm showed, the interdimension, you have oscillations, and well, this look more smooth to us. And it has an effective dimension of 3. So let's put compared to the previous models, which were P, and they didn't have such a good property. So, in particular, then one can study for this model numerically the fluctuation of spatial volumes. Particularly, if they take a spatial volume at time t and one at time t plus a. And then numerically, well, one can find something that gives this, that can interpolate the data. And span that is very well described by some function like this. You have an exponential of the difference between the two the two volumes squared over the sum, say the average, and there's some coefficient which depend on the cosmology of the gravitational constant. Well, this points quite much in the direction of an action for this model, which would look like this. Well, because here you have to also think then that there is the cosmological term in the weights for the jump. And so
CK is what? Would you go CK0?
CK0, it's unconstant.
One over the Lens Planck length?
It's something that grows when you something like 1 over Planck length, but this 3 parameters that you put in the action when you construct the plugin. So there's the indirect action, then you have to, yes, K0 and K3 is this vision. And so it's, yeah.
So it's the parameter that will multiply the range action?
No, it's not, well, usually in the American English we don't put it just in front of lambda is the conjugate of the volume, and the other is the only cap of the curvature. So this is just the coupling constant, the curvature. And so this is usually the continuum. You take this is like derivative square of respect to time, and it goes for a equals to 0, and this goes to the b times t. So this b2 is like a continuous variable for this, and also this number of two-dimensional blocks in the slice, calling the volume of the two-dimensional slice. So this really, this term is like, it's like this. That's the cosmological. So this, you can think of this as an effective action for the area of the slices. Or, well, it will be because of the, 3D is quite special. So one can also think that this is actually the classical action for the special volume. So if you impose the constraint, the momentum constraint, and you choose a particular gauge, so like fixed time, fixed lapse, and you have slicing, you can derive an action from which look exactly like this for the S2 case, because otherwise in general you would also have parameters on the modular space. And so this is would be inspiration for thinking about in 3 dimensions this would be.
Just I clarify what you just said. So the claim is that there is for 2+1 general relativity on a sphere, that there is a gauge fixing such that the classical Einstein-Hilbert action is equal to that?
Yes, well, since we were discussing the other day with Rambo, because I had appendix about this one.
I guess what you're saying is that you take Robertson Walker metric and you plug it into the.
No, it's not symmetry reduced or mean superspace.
Okay.
I'm thinking about this appendix. So if you do like a canonical analysis in a 3 dimension, so you have so you take quality of an R by sigma, sigma 2-dimensional, do ADM decomposition, so lux shift that 2-dimensional. Well, what is particular to 2+1 dimension is that the 2-dimensional metric can be decomposed, okay, conform a factor term, and then a metric which up to different morphism is one of our representative metrics in a constant curvature metric space of. So this, the space of such metrics is known as modular space, and 2-dimension is finite dimension. And so I was thinking of this work of Zoe and McGowan in 1989, where they choose York slicing and a gauge condition for the lux. And imposing the momentum constant, you can get an action. You can rewrite the action like this. So where rho is a parameter of modular space, and p is the conjugate momentum, and then so you have this term in the Hamiltonian, which is say the vector. This g is the vector symmetric on the modular space, and then you have this term, which is the volume of the two-dimensional slice. And the extrinsic curve square, which has been taken constant in York slicing. And then you have, okay, the topological term of the two-dimensional slice, so the Euler characteristic and the cosmological term. So now you take the S2, the sphere doesn't have this part. And then you have only this term, then when you go to the Lagrangian version, you obtain exactly what I was showing, b dot squared over b, and plus the.
Don't you get the same action if you take the metric dt squared plus vt dx squared?
Sorry?
You take the metric dt squared plus vt or v squared t, vt dx squared, and you plug it back into the action.
Yes.
You get.
Yeah, it's the same. But
okay,
that's
it.
Ah, okay, so yeah, that's okay, yes, sure. But then you can do also in 4-dimension. In 4-dimension, so yeah, they have the same result, numerical result, but you can describe the correlator between spatial volumes with the same kind of effective action. But then 4-dimension, clearly that is would be just an effective action for the volume. And what I wanted to say is that in 3-dimension, we obtain this action, which is then cause, say, a partially reduced phase-space quantization. But this is specific of 3-dimension. That you can reduce to just volume and take more importance. But this was a numerical results, and about analytical results, well, there is only this. Well, Ambion, Milkiewicz, Lernitzi in 2001, they show that the transfer matrix for 3D can be mapped into a matrix model, an AD matrix model. So a matrix model is with this partition function, and so there is an interaction term which is quartic and as this gives the name AD. And they show that the partition function for the generating function for this transfer matrix elements but particularly the one with, so in this generating function, I'm only keeping track of the area of this geometry. So here, this say geometry one in, geometry two out, and this hermetic between two geometries with fixed area, N1 and 2. And you sum over all geometries with N1 and 2 fixed. And then you sum over N1 and N2 with a weight associated to the N1 and N2. So in the end, you get a function that depends on C1 and C2. So you can only recover information about the areas of the slices, and you've lost information about the geometry. But so this, so this is the generating function for this transfer matrix elements of area to area. And this generating function is related to the free energy of this matrix. This matrix model was solved by Katzer, Golf, and Schistan.
Alpha 1, alpha 2, and beta in the matrix model?
They are related to the, so to the, say here there is, there are the couplings G Newton and lambda, and then Z1 and Z2. They appear basically mix Z1 and Z2 with the two couplings and that stuff. So basically, you can write the action for the slides as just something like alpha. Well, I will show you later, but that's the one. So these are the three kind of building blocks that appear in the one-step triangulation. I will show it in a moment. And basically, you have only two terms. And the alpha, no, the Z1 and Z2 couples to this. And then you have a third coupling. So you have three couplings.
For instance, Z1 equal to 0 means alpha 1 equal to 0?
Now I remember exactly the
okay.
Result relation. I think alpha is the e to the minus z plus the cos plus. Yeah, I don't remember exactly. So, so the model was solved exactly, but. Well, it's this very intricate analytical structure of several terms with different exponents. And it is very difficult to even find the identity part. So if you remember this, there should be an identity plus an Newtonian term. So, well, it is, so it has not been, it was, we're not successful to even find the zero order term in the continuum limit. So, and this is the status of the thing. And, well, maybe one could think that this complicated structure has to do with the fact that actually, when you say that this is equivalent to this, actually, you are considering here some generalization of the model that I was introducing, because the slices have configurations that the matrix model generates much more things that than one wanted to originally. So
you mean many more configurations?
Yes.
So just to understand the statute, you say this model was solved, but the problem is that people didn't know how to take the continuum.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not.
It's solved for finite matrices, but they don't know how.
No, it's solved for infinitely large matrices, but that gives you the just spherical topology. So this model is solved in the large n limit, and the large n gives the flat the planar diagrams. And then take the continuum limit, you assume to the critical point of the couplings, and do this, insert the scalings for the couplings, and find out what you get. And, but there's a problem that we encounter somehow later, I'm sure. So the idea was now was to study a different model, which so maybe simpler. So this model was introduced by Bianca in 2005. So the idea that maybe it would be useful to study in the study of the black hole geometries in dynamics of triangulation. And basically the sketchy idea about behind this is that there is a generalization of what I was saying before when you go from the Euclidean dynamical triangulation to the causal dynamical triangulation. So you introduce some kind of product structure. Now the idea is that you can generalize this product structure on a basis with more with the higher dimensions. So the idea before was that you have the time line, discrete dots, and on top of this you build the slices of the triangulation. And now the idea is that you can do this construction for a base which is not just one dimensional but higher dimensions. So produce triangles or so any triangulation or something. And then if on top of these triangles you construct some kind of towers which you have to fill with now with three dimensional blocks. Or something like this. So what comes out in the end is, say, for if you look at the one-step geometry, it's so you have say some base triangulation. That's when I was trying to draw that, and on top of this you have towers. So you have a sequence of towers of different types, say the one which with the big point up or the one pointing down. And now the two-dimensional geometries are here. It's this slice on top, this slice below. And they look like, again, something with a slice. So basically, the two-dimensional slices look like the 1 plus 1 CDT model. And so this one could formulate it like this. You take a three-dimensional geometry, but the two-dimensional slices look like the 1 plus 1 CDT. But furthermore, you have some more restriction of how these two glue together. They have, I'll show you in a moment. The idea was this could be useful in studying black hole geometries and viewing this slicing, or so slicing, like with the radial coordinate and some spherical shell. So some kind of analog descriptor of the spherical scene. For technical reasons, an average choice for this for the topology of these slices would be to take open on these two sides and identify these other two, so like actually have cylinder in space. But in that case, then we would also have, say, one type Muller parameter to go back to this picture, this decomposition of the action I've seen before. So this is simpler than, and it has much less configuration than the original model, but maybe it could still be enough to capture the full properties of the full 2 plus 1 dimensional model. In particular, if out of this has to come out something which only depends on area and Muller parameters. Of course, I don't want to start from there, so I start with including all geometries, and I want to obtain again something which dynamically gives me only a dependence on area and that Muller parameters. So the problem is whether this configuration spans the space of configurations and densely enough to implement the constraint to show the full dynamical behavior, three-dimensional curve. So this we don't know in the beginning, so we want to do the calculation and see what we can do. What we can say from the beginning is, instead of some simple analysis, that this two-dimensional, that the model has enough entropy, so basically yeah, the configurations on the boundaries are really two-dimensional, and they can compete with the thermal understanding before. So you have the exponential of the cosmological term, and that gives you a suppression which goes with the volume of the triangulation. And this has an entropy which actually grows with the exponential of the volume. So entropy and action compete constructively to give something that where you can have a convergence in a region, divergence in another, and at the border between the two, you have the equilibrium point. So how to study these models? So the general technique is to study this transfer matrix is to take this people sandwich calculation for obvious reasons. And so you have these two slices, like t and like t plus 1. And and in between, these are filled with these three-dimensional blocks that we can distinguish in three types. The 3-1 block, which has three vertices at the lower slice, and one at the top. The 1-3, which is the opposite. And the 2-2, which has only one edge at the bottom, one edge at the top. So basically, these kind of blocks give you the area at the lower slice. And these kind of blocks give you the area at the upper slice. And this doesn't contribute to the area and the two slices, but only contributes in weight. And so it allows you to grow this block and this block. And so when you then you can take this configuration, cut and say that cut it in the middle. Then you will get, say, from these blocks triangles, and from this block square. Now, if you color code this, the faces of this thing, so say blue, the triangles which point up, and red those that point down. So what you get when you cut is a graph. It's a tessellation which contains triangles, blue and red, and squares with two red sides and two blue. Then you can draw the dual of these things, which is that you substitute the triangles with the three red vertex, and then you get blue triangle vertex and red triangle vertex, and then you get the four red vertex with two colors for this. And for this configuration, so the sandwich triangulation, you can I was provided other configurations, but in particular for this one, the full action and the Einstein inverter and the Gibbons-Hawking boundary term, so the boundary is not the in and out boundaries, and we include everything. And so using the ledger description and topological relations between the building blocks, and you can in the end write the action as was. As combination of these terms. So N13 and N31 come to the number of these blocks and the number of these blocks, and N22 the number of these blocks. And so alpha and beta are a combination now of the inverse Newton's constant and the cosmological constant. You see, the cosmological constant appears with the same factor, it's just the sum of all just the volume. And the gravitational constant appear with different terms, so giving there's some difference between the amount of this block and the amount of that block that gives you the curvature. So with this action, then what we want to calculate is the Grand Canonical partition function. So that's the where we sum over volume and boundary geometries, and with weights that know about the area of the incoming and outgoing geometries. And and this weight, which is given by the edge. So this x and y are extra weights that we have in the boundaries to keep track of that information, to get a generic function. Yes.
So I have a question which seems to me is a question for the whole enterprise of doing 2 plus 1 dynamic triangulation. If I take the original starting point, your action, I can show in a few lines that that theory has no local degrees of freedom. Because the Ricci tensor reduces, the Riemann tensor reduces to the Ricci tensor, which is zero. If I now write your discretized theory, do I also have the same property that there are no local degrees of freedom classic?
Well, you get that there are no.
That is, if I take the theory described by the action of your second action, N1-3 plus N3-1, etc., can I show that there are no local degrees of freedom in that theory?
Well, I don't know how theory. To say what. What do you mean? Then, if I impose the constraint, then I was showing before, you get that there are only global degrees of freedom left, the area and the Techmuller parameters. So that's what I want to see. If I take this action and integrate over all geometries, if this constraint is implemented or not. And what I expect, as I was saying, is that I expect the Hamiltonian constraint not to be implemented, because basically we are taking a fixed time separation. We are only looking at the gauge, which gives you the different distance. A fixed gauge system. So if you have proper time thing, and then say that you have an when you, if you want to do this in the partial integral, then you would have to add the further determinant. And usually what you get is that the gauge degrees of freedom factor out and you throw away. What is left usually is if you have time separation, then you have an integration of the gauge degree of freedom, which gives you the distance between the initial and final slice. Then now this is when you integrate over that, then you get the imposed to the Hamiltonian constraint.
Right.
In this case, clearly we are not doing that yet, because
if you're not doing that, then your path integral is not a gauge fixing of the path integral for general relativity. It's not even it's not a discretization of the gauge fixing of the path integral for general relativity. If I write the path integral for general relativity and I gauge fix down to synchronous gauge, I still have a delta function of all the constraints in the measure. If you give me a discrete theory where I discretize the action, but I don't have a delta function
Maybe in the end I would go to force, then I want to derive this Hamiltonian, so which is not zero yet. And then I want to impose the Hamiltonian to be zero of the state. So in the end you would say integrate over time, then you would have that this Hamiltonian is has to be zero. I'm at the stage where the Hamiltonian constraint is not implemented.
Okay.
So maybe let's discuss it at the end.
So now again the same thing I was doing before. This was in general, and then you get the general graph with 3 valence and 4 valence. Vertices. If you do it now in our model, then what you get is you have a base triangulation on top of which you are tower. Now, each of these towers will correspond in the dual to a line, so different colors for the one which point up, right down. And on top of this basic lines, you have to add other, let's say, horizontal, this picture line, which corresponds really to, which gives you the vertices. So you have 3 vertices and 4 vertices. And because of the weights we have in the action, we will have a weight for this, we associated for easiness to 2 3-valent vertices. A weight U and 2 3-valent vertices, a weight V, and to the four valent vertices a weight tensor. And then with this weights, the partition function can then be written like this. But this needs some explanation. So I'm saying that these have n powers on this language, and I'm keeping n fixed for the moment. So, and then I sum from the action of this model, so I'll tell which depends on this, and which is the boundary of the powers. Then I include a sum over all configuration of the field, so all this three triangulation. So I have drawn here once, but many body triangulations trick, which would then correspond to any different sequences here. Here I have blue, red, blue, then you have blue, blue, red, and so on. And then the sum of so this is basically the in area, out area, and triangulation at fixed areas of the boundary. And then these are the weights. So basically, you see this just weights for the number of blocks in here. And this is just a combinatorial problem.
So if I understand well, your input here compared to the original one is to look at special class of triangulation.
Yes, it's realistic.
So it's one region. Okay.
Yeah, as I was saying, it's a big black. When you go into dimension from the Euclidean one to the Lorentzian one, you have strips, so you have less configurations than in the moment stuff. So this is a generalization of that idea. So this graph now really looks like something that in combinatorics is known, and it's called a heap of pieces. So basically, you see that a heap of pieces, what is it? It's a poset, a partial order set with the tracks. So basically, you have these tracks, which is these vertical lines, and you have these horizontal dimers. Now this doesn't matter where you draw it exactly until you don't cross another one. So what is relevant in the configuration is the relative position of this horizontal segments. And so this is how you can imagine this as a heap of pieces where you have these trucks and you pull in this you draw in these lines. Now there are some already were results in the literature about heaps of pieces in the dimension, which the main result is that you can map this heap of pieces in the dimension to a problem of hard objects in D-1 dimension. So, this usually was just pieces with no information on them, so all the same. In this case, we have two colors and different lines. So, but it turns out we worked out the demonstration again, and we can generalize this to our case with colors and different kind of pieces. And the basic result is that we can map this. Now it's a two-dimensional problem with two colors. We can map it to a one-dimensional problem with two colors. There. So this two-dimensional problem now is what you have a sequence of sides which correspond to these vertical lines. So the same color sequence of the lines correspond to the same color sequence of the sides, and you have hard dimers configuration in this thing. So hard objects which go from one color, say, of blue color to the next of blue color. And you have to consider all such configuration where they don't overlap. In this sense, they cannot touch nor overlap. So you have a combinatorial problem. And the formula is, the basic formula is that the partition function of this object with the given weights U, V, and that we saw before, is related to the inverse of the partition function for this model with the weights for the dimers change of size. The sudden weight, which is the crossing between one color to the other, doesn't change size. And this can be done a fixed sequence. So I fix here the sequence of blue and red. Now,
okay, in your diagram, what are the rules?
So the rules are that
how do you map? So there are some links and some non-links. How do you
some There are, so there are, say, sides of two colors, full and empty. And then you have to consider all possible, the partition function for all the possible configuration of this, on this one-dimensional sequence of objects which can be either of one color or of the other color. And then this object of this color can only go from the same color side to the next one. So it's minimal length.
Mu and v have the probability to put
an object. And you want to have all the, so you, mu and the partition function is the sum of all configurations of these diners on the on this side. You end up with some fugacity, so the number of diners in this configuration.
U and V are the probability to have an egg?
Sorry?
U and V, an omega.
U and V are the weight associated to our diner. So this one has weight U, and this one has weight V. So it's
and the W?
It's like the carrying of the branch for this.
And the W?
And W is of the glossing. So when I have a link with a diagram which goes like this, this gets one W here, one W here. So and this is done a fixed sequence, as I was saying. And so it's a tough problem in the end to do it for a particular sequence, even more to do it if we want to sum with the sequences. What comes in help is that okay, we can formulate this thing for in terms of transfer matrices now in this one-dimensional model. So if you want to count this partition function here, and then you can do it giving rules. So when you have a side that, for example, nothing going to nothing have a weight one, a diamond going to nothing as weight square root of u, and so on. And you can construct the transfer matrix, so something that has at each side helps you, or that gives you all the configuration in and configuration out with their weights. And when you do this, so you basically can write this partition function as a trace over a sequence of matrices A and B that I give here, just to show that. With the sequence of A and B, just the sequence of the colors, blue and red. So you have blue, red, red, blue, red, so, and now we have a sequence of matrices. So what we want to do then is to do the sum over all subsequences of fixed n, and then sum over n with some weight e to the minus gamma n. In order to do this, it is useful to think of this as this problem as a product of random matrices. So you have the matrix A and B, and you choose, so this matrix belongs to, so you have a matrix which belongs to a two matrices and subdot with probability one half and one half, and then the sum of all configurations, if it's n, is just the average in this given probability of one over the trace of a n fold product of this matrix mj, which probability one half is A, probability one half is B. So this is how we want to see this problem now to try to solve it. But before, the problem is now is that we have an inverse that we may get singularities, particularly because this partition function assigns a negative weight. So like here I was writing this one, but this was the original diagram problem. But when you do the mapping, this diagram problem, you have to change sign of this, and then this thing can be zero. And then if it gets zero and it's in the denominator, that gives you a singularity. So what you can show is that different sequences have different singularities, but for the nice thing is that for large n, but for any n they are beyond a given line, and for large n they accumulate in this line. So in this plot I show the red line is the one before which there are no singularities, and after these blue lines are just plots of the singularities. And you see they get very dense for large n, and they accumulate on this line. Then what we have to do is to avoid these singularities, we have to say ourselves in this region and study what is the So basically what I'm saying is that the model is defined here and not defined here. And then this is a critical line, in the sense I was saying before. But then what we want to do now is to study what is this, the critical behavior of the model when we go to this one. It turns out in the end that there is only one critical point, sitting here more or less, and where it is possible to define a non-critical continuum mean. By that I mean that this is a point where if you compute the average discrete volume, this diverges and you look at the point. And the other, on the rest of the line, you just get the volume stays finite, so if you take the continuum limit, you get no volume in the continuum. So how do we see this? Well, we have to solve this model to see where is this similarity and so on. To do that, we use a replica trick, which is a method which is known for a long time, and it's what we use in spin glass theory. And the basic idea is that if you have an average, but first of all, if you have a trace of a product of matrices to power n, then this is equal to the trace of the product of the matrices to tensor product. So each here you have the power of the trace, and here instead you have the tensor power of just each matrix. And this thing is equal to this. Now the average, you can bring it inside, and then you get end up with the trace of the product of the average of these tensor products. And then, in our case, say this average means that you are averaging this mj over a and b. So you get an expression here like this, which is a to power n plus b to tensor power n over 2, and this average to f power large n power, which is the number of terms in the product and the trace. So if you have so basically you have a trace of a matrix to power n, and this is in the large n limit, gives you just the largest eigenvalue to the n. So what we have to do is to find this largest eigenvalue. But there's a problem, because this is for positive integral n, while we have n equal to minus 1. So what we can do is, this is really the replica trick, is that because usually in condensed matter people want this in the limit, so the derivative of this thing in the limit that n goes to 0. So what you define is the logarithm of this object for general little n, and you can copy it for several n, and then you want to then you want to analytically compute this to non-integral n. And this can be, but in general, it probably depends on how is the distribution, the probability distribution of these traces. So if you get a Gaussian, it will be enough. It's enough to have, let's say, L1 and L2, and then you can keep all the function L1. So basically, this L1 is, I don't have time. I'll tell you later if you're interested. And then, so we have up to case N equal minus 1. And so the only problem with N minus 1 could be the appearance of poles, but then I just already told you we are safe from that. So now we want to take the computation. So we can compute this thing. We actually need only L1 and 2, and we have expression for the largest eigenvalue, which is already, I don't show you because it's very hard. For n equal 2, this is a 9 by 9 matrix, and with three variables in it, the eigenvalue is quite huge.
But you do have that result.
Yes. And so we have L1 and L2, so we're going to continue to L minus 1. And so we have the formula for this and this L minus 1, which is the exponent of the partition function, we want to call. So our partition function will be like the one fixed n, but large n goes like into the n, L minus 1. And we come to this one. Now we want to do the continuum limit with this expression, and so we have to plug in scalings for our coupling code. So we have this U, V, and W. What we do, so we have to tune to the critical point, which is here, this 2, 9, and 2, 3. And then you have the variation in A, so this how do you scale to this critical point. And these are given by, so K is the inverse Newton constant, and then because we have three dimensions, this has dimension, one on the left, so this case with A. Then there is the cosmological constants, A cube, and these are the boundary cosmological constants, can be the square. Now, here comes a problem, that as you see, that when you go for small A, the K is the dominating one. And then this gives a problem in the continuum limit, and to which, well, we are still working on. So for the moment, I take C1 and C2 to 0, so I don't look at the skin of K. I'm throwing K out of the window, and just to see if it's more at least in that limit as a continuum limit. And what we obtain then for our partition function, where I have done all this calculation, I sum it over N, I sum it over the sequences, and so on, and do this scaling in the continuum limit, we obtain an expansion in A of this study. And, well, we are not yet there. There is a problem, because this is 1 over square root of x plus y. We would like to have instead the Laplace transform of the identity, which doesn't have this square root. Well, since the chair is already up, I will skip this thing, but there is a problem. We can understand in terms of entropy of the geometries of the boundaries, and we can and well, with the independent calculation coming from the properties of these two-dimensional slices, we know what is the entropy of these slices. Then we understand that factor of 1 over square root. And then what we have to do is reduce this structure and deliver the transfer fancy things we discuss in private later. And in the end, we get this partition function. And this is the when you inverse Laplace transform, this is exactly the depth of like 1 minus A2. So if you remember at the beginning when I wrote, you are calculating this transition function A2 P minus AH A1, and then this goes like depth of A2 minus A1 plus minus A. Then you have the Newton of A1 and A2. So this is fine and it's new because it wasn't fundamental in this matrix model I was saying before. And then we have a Newton also, which is the time local operator now. It's a, but that's a cosmological term and that's nice. And it has a kinematic term with the first and second order derivatives. But it has some weird divergence. Factors here, A to the 3 alpha and 4 on alpha, which I like to compare to what we would expect from what we were seeing before. We would have a G factor in front. So this is just dimensional analysis. I threw this G away, and now instead of, because the Newton has to be 1 over length, but this is the only thing I can get. So now the problem would be to reintroduce it in the metric if this term disappears and others appear. But there are some ambiguities in the moment, and we are working on them. So there are many ideas of why with this doesn't work.
Wait, so to get so the more
can you
have
a community condition?
So it's okay. So okay, then so there are, I don't know, what can figure out many reasons. I can tell you what is my opinion about it. So maybe CD, this problem is with CD and the idea of taking a problem is maybe lower and but I think still that indications from the two numerics still give a good hope that instead this is not the case. It's maybe this specific model, but for the reasons I was saying before, but there's even worse problem with the full model. So. But with the matrix model, so I don't think it's that there could be some non-trivial step in the solution. Yeah. I'm pretty confident of what it's going. Up to now, we have more people doing it, and don't think it's there. So maybe one case is that we are treating the cylindrical slices, and which maybe we introduced the Kelly-Muller parameter, which we didn't look at. Maybe some more bigger problems. And that's under investigation. I think basically what I've shown you is a full calculation of a 3D partition function. CDT models, and for the first time we have a film limit, and we can show that at least in some particular case as a well-defined Hamiltonian operator. And the role of G-Newton is open, and there are still projects for the future to introduce this Frank-Muller parameter or to go back to the ADLB model with the lessons we have learned in this model, so how to do certain steps. That's it. Thanks.
We have one last question, which Dario can answer.
Well, so very quickly, this is wonderful, but it was a trap to begin with because there are no local degrees of freedom. Would you have had more success just studying 3+1?
No, 3+1, I don't know how to do all these mappings. It's much more complicated. 3+1, yeah.
But to ask you to start, to ask you to represent a theory with no degrees of freedom by a theory with an infinite number of degrees of freedom, try to tune it in the continuum limit so all the degrees of freedom go away, it sounds like an impossible job.
Well, but I think that's what we want to see. The full theory and implements these constraints and this reduces. Otherwise, we can start throwing away all the geometries things and just do some model with just area. Since in higher dimension, it's not like that. We want to see if the model that is proposed as a quantization of gravity in 4 dimension at least gives what we know in 3 dimension.
I mean, it looks like it got some kind of formally invariant theory because the effect, the Hamiltonian you get done with in the end is scale invariant because you have no Newton's constant. So maybe that you recover some other theory in 2+1 dimensions which is conformally invariant. That might be, since you are a critical. So it might be very interesting, but it's probably nothing to do with quantum gravity.
Yeah, still, we want to reintroduce the gravitational constant. But there are some. I'm not going to talk about the present work, but I'm not having time, also because there is an ambiguity and I get 2 different results. So I still have to see which one.
Okay, so let's thank Dario.